Welcome to the Prison Pod, a podcast for all people experiencing incarceration. The mission of this podcast is to save lives, restore hope, reduce suffering, and recidivism. Many show ideas come directly from the listeners, so please write the host. Prison Pod, Post Office Box 294, Orono, Maine, 04473. Here is your host, Ms. Valerie.
Hello again. Thank you so much for having me back on the Prison Pod. Today's guest is Josh Nowak, and he is from Breaking Free Industries. I don't want to just say he's from Breaking Free Industries because there's so much more to the person, but that's just to start off with. So I'm going to say a good morning to you, Josh. How are you?
Good morning, Valerie. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast today. I'm so honored and touched, and I am having a fantastic day. We're just getting things started here in Los Angeles.
I know it's early in the morning there. It's a little bit later here for me. Well, I said I was going to start off with the Breaking Free Industries, but I'm going to back up a little bit because as I started doing a little bit of research on you and what you do, I came across this great program called Inmates to Entrepreneurs. And it's my understanding that you are an instructor for part of that program.
Yes. So Inmates to Entrepreneurs is a program that teaches basic entrepreneurial skills to those that are currently incarcerated or those who have come home. And the only requirement that we have is that you self-identify as being judicially impacted. Based upon our experiences, judicially impacted means in some way, shape, or form, you've been judicially involved. It could be that you're the children of somebody who's been incarcerated, you've done time yourself, you've been charged with a crime but never actually committed, whatever. If you self-identify, we're not cross-checking you, but it's a course that teaches basic entrepreneurial skills so that you have the tools you need to just start and get your first couple sales. And it's a way to create optionality for those that come home and have a difficult time finding a job.
I love that idea. And were you involved with that yourself before getting a job, or was that just a job that you came into when you became familiar with them?
Well, so just backing up on that, after my release in 2018, shortly thereafter, I was diagnosed with a medical condition that required heart surgery. So following that, by this point in time, I was still trying to just find a day job, something like I didn't care what it would be. I didn't care if I flipped burgers. I didn't care if I was stocking shelves. I just wanted a full-time job so I could just take care of myself, take care of my family, and not be so fancy about life and just keep it simple, just collect a paycheck. But unfortunately, I had 13 job offers revoked. That's not 13 job interviews that didn't go well. That's people that said, I want you to work for me. And then on doing their background checks, said, no thanks. So that kind of pushed me into the entrepreneurial way of, hey, you got to do your own thing again, which I kind of dragged my feet saying, okay, yeah, I kind of realized I haven't held a job in 20 years because I've been self-employed before incarceration. I kind of realized I'd have to go back to that self-employment deal. The question was what? So after a lot of soul searching, and I'll save you the backstory on that, I came up with the idea is, fine, you don't want to hire me as a formerly incarcerated person, ex-felon, then hire the whole lot of us, because in my experience, lots of people want to do the right thing, but not in their own house. Like if you go past somebody on the street and they're homeless, you want that person not to be homeless. You want to feed that person, but you don't want to go actually give that person the money because you're fearful of whatever. You might get mugged. They might use that money for drugs. So we kind of give our money to the church and let the church kind of run interference. And the church will do the ministry work for the homeless and feed and house and clothe and all that. And we feel good about making the donation to that intermediary. So I'm like, okay, fine. You don't want to hire me, buy a shirt. You don't want to buy a shirt, buy 1,000 shirts. And if you don't like the designs we have, we'll make one for you. And I'm going to hire an arsenal full of people that are like me who've been incarcerated and judicially impacted so that you don't want to hire that person directly for whatever reason. I can understand on some level why people don't want somebody who's been to prison on their workforce. There's liability. There's concerns. What if, what if, what if? And all the other claptrap that we believe about people that have been incarcerated. So I'm like, fine, you don't want that. Hire me. I'll be the salesman, the spokesperson. And I will hire that person and then buy a shirt and then we'll just collectively rise together. Okay, fine. Great idea. Didn't work out so well to just get started. I had a genuine hard time marketing and sales and doing all this stuff to promote a business because I hadn't been in fashion. I'm an accountant by trade. I know debits and credits. I know a white shirt and dark pants. I don't know anything about this sort of stuff. So how do you kind of market? So I took this seminar and the guy who ran the seminar said, hey, look, what you're doing is really cool. I need to connect you with the folks over at Brian Hamilton Foundation. And Brian Hamilton Foundation is run by a guy, Brian Hamilton, who has 30 years ago started this organization called Inmates to Entrepreneurs, which is how I got connected. I spoke with their CEO, Charlie Bradley, who then said, hey, look, it'd be great if you could teach in our program, but first we'll make you take the course. So I know you're well-educated and all that, so the course might be a little bit kind of like boring for you, but it's really important for you to go through the program so you understand what it is that we're teaching and why we're teaching it. So please go ahead, take the course, and we'll get back to and we want you to grow with the organization. And that was almost 4 years ago. I had just started Breaking Free. I was maybe 3 or 4 months into it. And fast forward, I've now taught the course 19 times. And I continue to mentor folks as it comes out and be of service to that organization, because part of my way of being post-incarceration is, hey, great, I knew I was going to land on my own 2 feet. What can I do to bring people along for the ride? How can I be of service to other people? Eventually, like getting a second chance, it's hard, but so many of the people I come across are people that never got a first chance. So how do I leverage what my skills and my abilities to create more opportunities for some? And it hasn't always been easy. It's certainly been a bumpy road, because at the end of the day, being an ex-felon myself, I'm not bankable, and all the entrepreneurship challenges that you normally have add to it an incarceration experience. It kind of makes it a little bit more of a challenge, but I'm still of the mindset of who cares about saving people on a tax bill? I'm much more interested about how do I create opportunity for other people?
Love it. Absolutely love what you're doing. I'm as you probably know, a firm believer in second chances. I don't think any of us should be judged by the worst thing we've done in our lives, because there's so much more to us than that. And the idea of employment, you know, I've done reentry for many, many years and worked with a lot of people coming home. And one of the biggest problems is finding, not just finding employment, but finding good employment.
Yes.
Something that there's a chance of advancement, something there's a chance for benefits, and to be treated like a human being and not like a felon.
Absolutely. Well, it's this self-fulfilling prophecy. When you come home, it's like, I've spoken to many people who are like, hey, we need to, you know, you committed a crime, you do the time, and all these kind of folks who are under the belief that if you lock people up long enough, they are somehow magically transformed, even though there's no transformation work that goes on behind the wall. They come home and now you have a legitimate problem of, okay, I've talked with people, and as I'm sure you have too, especially in your reentry work, they didn't know how to use a cell phone. And so it's like, so there's no transformation or reinforcing behavior. So you come home and it's like, well, now how do we restore dignity? How do we believe in you? How do we kind of just make it so that, like, we have enough judgment on ourselves as far as that imposter syndrome? How do you kind of make it so that your employer believes that you are better than your worst mistake? That actually, we've all had our worst mistake. The only difference between me and the next person is that mine was publicized. I was caught, convicted, mine hit the press, versus somebody else whose worst transgression might have been swept under the rug. No one may ever have known about it. There's no light on it. They did whatever they did in the privacy of their own home and no one found out. Or through a variety of legal maneuvers, they got away with it. But so many times people have done ridiculous things that may not even be illegal, but the reality is that they're pretty darn immoral things to be doing. Now, I'm not justifying what I've done. What I did was wrong, and I deserve to go to jail for it. I have no issues on that front. But that said, we are in a culture of overcharging people to force a conviction, because God forbid our prosecutors don't get a 98% conviction rate. God forbid it goes to trial and we let an innocent person free. And then they come home and then we're like, well, you know, you kind of deserve it. And then we're surprised when the probation officers reincarcerate them, or when people get caught doing bad stuff, because you have a magnifying glass on these folks. And of course, if they go 56 into 55 and they get pulled over, oh, that's a probation violation. You're going back to jail. It's like, give me a break. Give people an honest second chance, a fair chance at doing right. And when people come to me for a job, it's like, I don't care what you've done in the past. That slate is wiped clean. You're going to get the benefit of doubt. And we're going to start from scratch saying, hey, let's do something right. And let's believe in you that you are possible of doing anything you want and achieving all of your dreams.
Do you find in the majority of times that you end up with very good workers? Number one, because they appreciate having the job. But number two, because they really do have good work ethic.
I haven't found a better work ethic. I have never seen a stronger work ethic. And that's coming out of, I was in the corporate world for like 15 years. I would take one of my team members any day of the week, twice on Sunday, versus those folks. Any of those guys.
This is what people need to understand that are so afraid to hire people coming home. And, you know, you made a comment about doing the time. Once the time is done, that should be it.
Yeah.
But as you know, and so many of our listeners know, once you've been in prison and have that label of felon on you, it can continue the rest of your life, and it affects you the rest of your life. And that, I think, is above and beyond where punishment needs to go.
Absolutely. I mean, so even in my personal scenario, I've recently gone ahead and gotten filed for expungement, which is kind of cool. It allows me to access certain government benefits and certain government programs like TSA PreCheck. Go figure. But it doesn't stop Google. So, yeah, that label will follow me, in which, in a sense, why I started breaking free is like, okay, fine. If I can't dodge that label, I'm going to embrace it and go the other way. Yes, I'm a felon. It's a part of who I am. Although going the other way, when I teach in the program for inmates and entrepreneurs, one of the first things I'll say is we are now changing that label from felon to entrepreneur. Because too often, there was one of our first classes, it was probably about a year ago, for some reason, each of the folks that were kind of sharing the class, it was almost like an AA meeting where they're like, yes, I'm a felon and I served however many years. And after the third or fourth person that did that, I said, okay, let's stop this for a second. Let's just accept that all of us are on this call here and all of us are in this class because of a judicially involved reason. I accept that. We all accept that. You can continue to embrace that as being your primary label. But of all the labels that you can possibly draw from in your life, let's not draw that one. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm not saying it doesn't shape who we are. I'm not saying that it's not a part, that it's not an experience. But the world does a pretty good job of defining us for ourselves. We don't need to do that. So I don't know about you. I'm going to embrace the entrepreneur title. I'll embrace a father title. I'll embrace a slow runner title. I'll embrace a musician title, but I don't need to embrace and lead with I'm Josh and I'm a felon. And we certainly don't need to do it here. So I would much rather you decide for yourself that you're going to identify as an aspiring high net worth individual, that you are an entrepreneur, that you are a badass. I'm fine with all of those, but we're not going to be continuing this whole trait of how long you've been away for it. There's no points for that here. Let's move on, and let's move on with that identification, please.
Yeah. Change the narrative.
That's right.
And we really need to start doing that. You know, we do that all the way across the board as far as labeling people.
Right, you know, but we I think too off. Often we do it to ourselves, and that shoots ourselves in the foot.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
We're not doing ourselves favors.
We've been talking about it, but we haven't really discussed what Breaking Free Industries actually is. So let's talk a little bit about that.
So Breaking Free is we're a screen printing business. So as a for-profit entity, we print hoodies, t-shirts, caps, whatever that you could put ink or a stitch in other than a human being. And we will do whatever custom apparel that you want. And as a for-profit entity, we go head-to-head with any of the other 2,500 screen printers in the Los Angeles area. And we're a for-profit entity, A, because I would find great amusement of thinking about the IRS agent that would be like, oh, wow, nonprofit application for this guy? Hell no. But more than that, I want our business to be treated seriously as a legitimate business, not that we're here for a charity case. We're not a reentry program. We're not designed to have social services. We are designed to be a legitimate employer that you can go to and say, hey, I've worked for a screen printer here in Orange County. Can I please get a job somewhere else and use my business as a reference as being not just like having an asterisk next to it saying, hey, we're entity light, or we're not somehow a legitimate printing business, or you only got the job because of you were part of a reentry program and this is the assignment that you drew. It's like, no, we're a legitimate business and we'll go head to head with every other screen printer that we can. And the compelling thing that when I go to the street, when I talk about what we do, it's what makes you different than the competition? Well, it's our mission. And that lands very nicely, especially with a lot of nonprofits that constantly need apparel. And then in time, my aspiration is to ultimately incubate other businesses underneath the Breaking Free umbrella so that we can start having micro enterprises so that someone who's done well in the screen printing business, they have a desire to be in the landscaping business. Let's go buy them a Ford pickup truck. Let's get a couple of lawnmowers going. And now we've got Breaking Free Landscaping. And let's just say we've got somebody who wants to detail cars and they have a big affinity around cars. Let's get another pickup truck and a pressure washer and one of those water tank things. And now we've got Breaking Free Mobile Car Wash Detailing. And somebody who really likes to just go around and make the world a prettier place, let's have the a window washing business. Things that are service-based businesses that are capitalized for nominal amounts of money, but things where people aren't necessarily so quick to look at the background check. Like there are certain times where it's like, hey, you know, I love the idea of second chances, but I don't necessarily trust somebody who's a former gang member that's all tattooed in the house with my 14-year-old child. Like, that may not land well. But can I sell somebody doing window washing? Yeah, I can. Can I sell somebody doing car washing? Yeah, I can. You know, one of the colleagues that I met, his name is Dave DeRocher. He runs this reentry program in Salt Lake City called The Other Side Academy. And his cute tagline, which is the most amazing tagline I've ever seen, The Other Side Academy happens to be the number one rated moving business in Salt Lake. And their line is, we've always known how to move your stuff. We just now do it to a place of your choosing. So it's a tongue-in-cheek kind of nod to someone's perhaps felonious past. But it's a way to say, hey, we're here to take care of your stuff. And we are going to be the best darn service provider. And now they operate between their moving business, their storage business, and their clothing resale business. They do phenomenal work for phenomenal people and really transform lives all in.
Yeah, I had Dave on as a guest a few months back, and he's doing some incredible work out there too. I love it.
Yeah, he is. He does amazing work. And oddly enough, we did time at the same location. So it was kind of funny.
That is funny. Well, I have to say that I actually ordered one of your hoodies this morning. There was this great butterfly artwork, and I wanted to ask if the Prison Arts Collective is something you were doing, or did you guys do printing for them?
We do printing for them. So for some nonprofits, and Prison Arts Collective is one of them, for some nonprofits, one of our value propositions to nonprofits is not only will we do printing for you, we'll help you with a merch store. So all too often, when you think about a nonprofit and they want to sell t-shirts, and this goes for a lot of small businesses, restaurants and things like that, one of our calling cards is invariably you order 100 t-shirts and you've ordered wrong out of the gate. Even in the best intended circumstances, you can look at all the national averages about what the average sizes should be and what the size breakdown should be. Invariably, you are going to have 5 or 6 extra smalls remaining and you're going to run out of larges and now you need to reorder even though you have remaining inventory. But we'll do a lot of work on demand. So by doing our work on demand, we can avoid the elements of having just stock that you just don't need, as well as you can stock things that you probably otherwise couldn't afford to because you wouldn't hit the minimum order quantities. So there are companies that are out there already that work with Shopify and things like that. But again, if you're in the nonprofit world, you're already resource thin. So you've got all of your resources and all your people around your primary mission. Running a retail store is not part of your primary mission. So we'll be like, hey, we got this for you. So add in, you want to do tumblers and mugs and notepads. Fine, we'll do that work for you. And we'll print that stuff on your behalf, ship it out on your behalf as a third-party logistics person, usually at a lower price than Printful or Printify and things like that. All the while leveraging our second chance force and our second chance team so that you as a nonprofit can raise money as you need to and get all of those proceeds. And then our deal is that every Monday you get a check for the proceeds of whatever it is that people have ordered over the past week. And specific to Prison Arts Collective, we are a partner with them. They have given us designs from people that have been incarcerated. And we scan their work, put it up on a hoodie, and away we go.
I'm curious if you've ever done playing cards.
I haven't, but we could.
Because there's very few companies doing those, just so you know. Because I've been searching.
I am fairly confident. I mean, we probably wouldn't print those in-house, but we can certainly source it. Because part of it, invariably, we get things that just either for one reason or another, we don't have the right equipment to do it, like pens. We don't do those in-house. We don't have that type of – we don't have the equipment that does it. So we'll outsource it. And rather than saying no to the overall apparel order, typically if you just come to us looking for pens, we're going to say, hey, you know, go to Staples. But if you've got an overall apparel order and you have 2 or 3 things that are not core to what we do, we'll source it for you and just get it to you pretty much at our cost. And yeah, we can pretty much source more or less anything that you can ink something on, which is why I said before, anything other than a human being, we will ink or stitch anything.
That's pretty good.
So yeah, the hospital's down the block for stitches and the tattoo parlor, you can go there for that sort of stuff. But other than human beings, we will, you know, it's one of those things, like as an entrepreneur, you don't say no. You try and find every which reason to say yes.
That's good business policy. Speaking of business, how can people find out more about what you're doing?
Websites, so our website is breakingfreeindustries.com, and all the social handles are BreakingFreeBFI. So Instagram, BreakingFreeBFI, YouTube, BreakingFreeBFI. Most commonly, you'll find it over on Instagram and Facebook. I'm posting more and more towards LinkedIn as well, both on my personal page and the LinkedIn page. But the overall socials are BreakingFreeBFI and BreakingFreeIndustries.com.
And if you wouldn't mind, could you give some information how people could find out about the Inmates to Entrepreneurs training?
Absolutely. It's a free class. Well, we do an amazing job fundraising from the corporate sector. And oddly enough, we are very well supported by people in the corporate sector. And that would be at inmatestoentrepreneurs.org. So inmatestoentrepreneurs.org. Our next class will start in, I think it's April 9th. And for in general, we run anywhere between 4 and 6 cohorts a year. And so if you go online, you'll see exactly how to register on the website as far as that program. We also offer a startup boot camp, which is usually a compressed version of that 8-week course, which is going to condense down to 2 hours. Those are a little bit more selective in terms of when we offer them. And I usually don't teach in that program, not for any other good reason other than somebody else usually beats me to it. I'm usually around for the 8-week course.
So now I'm going to throw you for a loop because I know everybody's always prepared for these interviews, but they're not ready for this question. First of all, are you a reader?
Very much so.
Okay. Is there a book that you have read that either it could be fiction and just for fun or something that was a serious book that you felt was life-changing?
So I'll give you the cliche answer, and then I will give you a not-so-cliche answer. The cliche answer is, when I was incarcerated, it happened to be at a time in the Jewish calendar of the new year. And during my first session with the prison chaplain, who happened to be a rabbi, it's like, this is a new year, a time for new beginnings, and a time to reset. Think about that. And in revisiting some of the stories that are interwoven into the Bible, so to speak, there's an element that there are second chances afforded there everywhere. Yes, there's a whole lot of death and destruction of, you know, if you do this, we're going to stone you, or you know, we, you know, you shall surely die, all that kind of talk. But the reality is that we've been created in God's image for a reason, and that second chances are almost a divine right. So that's the somewhat cliche answer, because, you know, or the Bible. Okay, fine. The other one is a wonderful book written by Paulo Coelho called The Alchemist, which is a really lovely book that is short and sweet and very much to the point, where as a reader, I've read it probably a dozen or two dozen times. And each time I read it, I get something else out of it. But it takes me about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours to kind of read through it. So it's a rather short book. I think it's 100 pages, but it's a wonderful little parable about life. And without going into the details of it, I'll let some other folks kind of go in there. But it, to me, it's that it's always about the journey much more so than the destination.
Thank you for sharing that, because it's always interesting to me. I know that, you know, I had a book that really changed me, and it was on anger, out of all things. And it was a friend who gave it to me, and they were a little nervous about giving it to me because they wasn't sure how I was going to take it. But it was Anger by Thich Nhat Hanh, and it was a great book. And I think I bought about 30 copies of it throughout the last 25 years and given them as gifts. So, well, and The Alchemist is a great book.
In addition to the whole reading elements to it, one of the also more profound things post-incarceration, I had the privilege of meeting Father Greg Boyle of Homeboy Industries. And if you listen to his YouTube videos, his speeches invariably have a lot of the same anecdotes. So if you've seen one speech, you've kind of seen a bunch of them, because he kind of, his eloquence is repeated because it's such a good speech. He just, you know, press repeat, and depending on the audience, he kind of tweaks it a little bit. But the first time I met him face to face, it totally rethought how I thought about life in terms of what my purpose is, because I met him about 3 weeks before I incorporated Breaking Free. And I had known about his social enterprises. And the cool thing that I heard from him is that, like, and I met him in a synagogue scenario, and his line to us was, you don't go to services, you don't go to synagogue, you don't go to church, you go from. And he goes on to say, as well, if you're going from, well, then where exactly are you going to? Begs the question, right? You're bringing the light from this holy place, and your obligation is go to the margins. Your obligation is go to the fringes and stand with the child, stand with those that are downtrodden, and bring the light from here to those that are downtrodden, and bring that light out from here to there. That is your mission. And, you know, in a sense, while he has written books and they're quite good, his 10-minute pitch, his 10-minute speech was the kind of final kind of action, so to speak, that set me on the course to open up Breaking Free and firmly set me in that mission of where I'm going. So And I've subsequently seen him speak a couple more times. I've met him face to face and shook hands and said, hey, let's talk a little bit more and all that. But he is a wonderful human being doing wonderful things. And if we can take a little bit of that light and bring it to the margins, that's my goal.
That's beautiful. I like that. Let's bring light. Let's shine the light on those who have that inner light to shine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think all too often the people at the margin, they have that inner light, but it's been fogged and kind of cluttered over. Kind of like if you go to an older house and some of the mirrors have this dust that's kind of obscured and a level of opaqueness, a shade around that light. You just have to believe in that person and have them recognize their own inner beauty. And sometimes we need a little bit of help getting there because, especially in an incarceration scenario, people have been told for a great point of their lives, both before incarceration, all too often, during incarceration, and then sometimes afterwards, that they are somehow less than, they are somehow inferior, that you are not worthy of love, that you're not worthy of life, that you're not worthy of a good job, that you're not worthy of happiness because of some transgression that happened some years before. And that's something that when you bring the light to that person and help them say, you know what, you are more than your worst mistake. You are more than whatever happened to you prior to, because all too often the cycle of incarceration started with domestic issues at home. A parent mistreating a child, sexual abuse, drug use in the home. And as a child, you didn't have that role model that taught you how to live life. So it's like, you know, even at 34 years old or 40 years old, you can learn that lesson that you are worthy of love in life's, all of life's gifts.
Thank you so much for saying that, because a lot of our listeners need to hear that. And that is a beautiful way to wrap things up.
Amazing. Thank you so much for this glorious opportunity to share with you this wonderful morning. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with your listeners and all that. And we'll make sure that we get that sweatshirt right out to you.
Thanks so much, Josh. It was great having you today. I want to remind our listeners that we've been talking with Josh Nowak with Breaking Free Industries. And I'd like to really thank him for doing the work he's doing and believing in second chances, because we all need a second chance. Until next time.
Have a great day, everyone.
You have been listening to The Prison Pod, a podcast not just for those in prison, but for anyone who has been affected by incarceration. Ms. Valerie would love for you to write to her with your questions, comments, and show ideas. The address is Prison Pod, Post Office Box 294, Orono, Maine. 04473. Remember, reading opens doors, so pick up that book.